It's a wonderful thing to be back in the little chapel and be with the people of God here. And facing a new year, looking back over the past many, many years I've been in the ministry, it seems as though that the Lord has always given me something about the new year on our first service. And at first I couldn't quite understand the direction that the Lord was going for this particular service, but He has seemingly opened my eyes, and hopefully the Lord will put the words in my mouth that will be a benefit this morning. I'm starting with a familiar scripture, just a portion, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, and it says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I understand what that's really talking about, but I would like for that to apply to our time and where we are in this period of time right now, as being leaving the old year and facing a new year. Just saying a little bit about the new year, and this is only the seventh day of this year, so it's still a young year. It's still fairly new. We're not on the first day of the year, but it really seems as though we all stand at this point every year, and we not only look forward, but we also look backward. We look back. Even the news, the first day of the year, or maybe even the New Year's Eve, they start giving all of the history, major points that has happened in the last year, like in the political realm or some major stories. And so it's a common thing to look back over the last year and consider. And for us, we should consider what the Lord has done for us and where He has helped us. And maybe some of it will be things that we will remember that we wish we had done differently. But yet when we stand here and look forward, it gives us hope that we can do something different for the next year. And a lot of people call those kind of things resolutions. And I don't want to talk on resolutions, because resolutions don't really last very long as a general rule. But we can have purpose. We can have desire. And we can go forward. And just because there were things in the past year that we may have wished we had done differently, it doesn't mean that we have to have that same circumstance for the new year. So I look toward the new year, and I presume that most of you will feel the same way, with anticipation. I felt that there were some things that were said in the prayer meeting Wednesday night that indicated that we are looking forward, and we're not living in the past year. We're looking forward. So I have just a little reading that I found, and I want to insert it right here. And it's concerning a fresh new year. It says, a fresh new year is here, another year to live, to banish worry, doubt, and fear, and all of self to give. This bright new year is given me to live each day with zest, to daily grow and try to be my highest and my best. This is a blessed opportunity once more to right some wrongs. Isn't that good? We can right some wrongs that have been in the past year. That's an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us. And then it says, to seek for peace upon my knee and sing the victor's song. Farewell to all the past I bid. I seek those things before. I praise my God for all he did, that I may stand at heaven's door. So that's just a little reading that has to do with facing a new year. But that's not exactly our message, and I desire the Lord to help us. We want to look at the book of Deuteronomy as our message this morning. And we want to first of all look at the background of the book of Deuteronomy, some information. Moses was the author of the book. Going to give you some things that I found when I was reading about this, that the Hebrew title for Deuteronomy is the words. And we find that in the very first verse of that book, it says, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel. So, seems appropriate for that to be the beginning of a book that are words to the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy is also called a book of remembrance. It not only is a book of, it was actually written to the children of Israel as Moses' last message to the children of Israel. We all know that Moses was not granted the privilege to cross over into the land of Canaan, and we know why. And we understand from these scriptures that the time frame that this was written was at the end of the 40 years that the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness. And verse 3, it tells us that it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. And so this is the 11th month, just a short more time, and it would be a fulfillment of 40 years of wandering in the desert. So Moses was 120 years old at that time. What he wrote in most of Deuteronomy was to the new generation, because the old generation that had murmured and complained and was not found worthy to go into the land of Canaan had all passed away, all except Caleb and Joshua. And then the rest of them were of that generation that was younger when all of that took place. So he's giving them a refresher course, if you might say it that way, of the law. And he repeats a lot of the law. If you study the book of Deuteronomy, it's a wonderful book to study. You'll find many things are said over and over. You'll find in the 5th chapter, I believe it is, that he restates all of the 10 commandments. They were given in another book of Moses, but he's now addressing a new generation, and they're being told a lot of things. And this morning, I know time is running short this morning, but we do have several scriptures. We're going to be staying mostly in the book of Deuteronomy, because we look at this and we see that they were leaving something that was old. The 40 years of wandering in the desert, we're going to count that as leaving the old year. And they're faced with something different and new that they've never experienced before. And so Moses is giving them a number of his messages to them as they pursue this new life. And I would like for us to look at it and consider it as a message for you and me to face the new year. So I'm going to start with reading in Deuteronomy 1, and I've already read verse 3, so let's look at 6 through 8. And it says, "And the Lord our God spake unto us, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. And he turned to you, turn you, and take your journey, and go unto all of the places nigh thereof." I'm giving you just parts of these verses. "In the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, unto the great river." And verse 8 says, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." So if you could, in your mind, look at the year that you and I are facing, and we know not what a year will bring forth. We know not what a day will bring forth. The scripture tells us those things. It's obscure, it's hid, we know not what even this afternoon would carry or be. But we can have an exhortation of how to face the new year. And we can face it with the Lord's help. We can go forward and have confidence and have faith, and we can trust that these things that were said to the children of Israel as they were leaving the wilderness and going into the land of Canaan, I believe they could speak to us today. So verse 21, we'll be skipping around several different verses. It says, "But behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee," and then it says, "go up and possess it." And the latter part of that verse says, "fear not, neither be discouraged." So I believe there's a message in that for you and me. I believe that we can call this next year a land that we're going in to possess. There is a scripture that was said, spoken to the children of Israel as they were going into the land of Canaan, and it said, "Wherever you put your foot, you can claim that land." Something to that effect. And so we don't have to know where the next footstep is. Oftentimes, most of the time, we can be in a place that we simply do not know what to do or where to go or what that next event in our life will be or where I will put my foot. But he is saying, "I've set before you now a land for you to go in and possess it, and you are not to be afraid and you are not to be discouraged." Discouragement is something that we can face even before we get to a place of discouragement. We can do it with dread. We can do it with apprehension. And it affects our faith. It affects our trust. It affects our confidence. And it even goes on in one place, and it said that we are not to dread. He told the children of Israel not to even dread what is before them. But you go down to verse 30, and it says, "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you." Now, I'm not giving you whole verses because I'm giving you key words that will be our message for 2018. So we believe that God is able to go with his people and go before them. He is our God, and he is able to lead us and teach us and guide us and instruct us, and he's able to fight our battles for us. Now we skip down to chapter 4, and we're going to look at 1 and 2 and 5 and 6 and 9. And 30 and 31 through 35. So it's considerable reading, but I want us to try to grasp hold of the message that Moses gave to the children of Israel and say, wait a minute, there is a message in this for me. Verse 1 says, "Now therefore hearken unto the statutes and unto the judgments, that ye may live and go in and possess the land. That's the message that you and I need for this day. That is the fresh message for 2018. We go into this year believing, living, applying His statutes and His laws and His judgments. They're still important to us. The world may be changing. The world is changing. We spoke a little bit recently on the scripture that says over in Daniel that He wants to change the laws and the times. Satan is doing that, but that should not change our convictions of what God is saying in His Word. We need to still believe for 2018 that God's Word is supreme and above all, and it is true, and that you and I can trust in it and live by it, and we can be there at the heaven's door someday. Thank the Lord. And then verse 2 says, ye shall not add unto the word, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. We don't want to add anything to the word of the Lord, nor do we want to take anything away from it. For however God has set it down at that time that He set it down, before the foundation of the world, we don't want to change the word of the Lord. We want to live and believe the word of the Lord. And then verse 5, behold, I have taught you the statutes and the judgments. Now verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. Does that apply for this year? It has to apply. We don't know how to guide our own life. The scripture says that a man does not know how to direct his own steps. We don't know how. We must keep ourselves in the path that God is calling for His people to walk. In verse 9, it says, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Remember, there is no one going to keep your soul like you keep your soul. We say certain things to you from time to time, saying, pray for your children, because no one else is going to pray for your children like you do. We can help each other pray, but when it comes also to keeping your soul, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. No one else is going to answer for my life or your life except you and me. And so we must diligently keep our soul for 2018. And it says, lest, there's a reason, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart. And then the latter part of the verse says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. That's why we need to keep hold of the word of the Lord. It needs to be solid in our hearts, fastened in our mind, because there is a great contest against the word of the Lord, against the statutes and the laws and the commandments. There is a great contest, and it will affect you and me in the coming year if we don't have it fixed, if we aren't established and settled in the word and in the truth. We will begin to question it ourselves. We can move away from it. So the exhortation to the children of Israel is an exhortation to you and me today. Take heed. Guard your soul, lest you forget. Lest your eyes forget the things that you have seen and it departs from your heart. Now skipping down to verse 30. And when thou art in tribulation, and then the latter part of that verse, even in the latter days, are we in the latter days? We know we are. According to history itself, according to the prophecies of the Word of God, we are in the last of the last days. Do we know when Jesus is coming again? No, we know that not even the angels of heaven, not even Jesus himself knows the day nor the hour. But you and I are living and working towards that day and that hour. Whether it be my last breath on earth and I pass out of this world and time goes on, I'm living for that moment. And so whatever I am taking here in my tribulations in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, then the latter part of 31, he will not forsake thee. In 2018, the promise is still there. It was made this many years ago. In Moses' time, in the children of Israel, as they came out of the wilderness, going in to possess the land, it was said to them, you and I are going now to possess our land for 2018. And if we are obedient unto the word of the Lord, he will not forsake you. He will be with you. And it says, and neither destroy thee. Thank the Lord. Now down to verse 32. For ask now. Now this is something that we must do. We must be curious from time to time. The longer that you live, the younger people that are coming on. You see, he was addressing the new generation. We want to address the young generation that they will get this thing fixed in their hearts, because if time goes on, the older ones, we are going to move off the scene just like it has happened in our time. We had many who were good examples that instructed us and taught us the way that went before us, and they have now moved off the scene. And so it's left to this generation, and there's fewer of my generation than ever before. And so the next generation must pick up the mantle, so to speak, and hold to the truth. Oh, I want to say to the young people today, look at those that are examples before you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me as a man. And we don't want to follow anyone this morning as a man. We want to look at the Spirit of God that is working in those that are an example, and follow the example. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so we want all of the younger people to have those examples living before them, whatever generation it is. And he said, I want you to ask something now of the days that are past. It's important. Did you know even the world knows how important it is to study the history? Because they say that history repeats itself. The mistakes, the things that happened that were horrible things in the past, if we don't keep our mind on why that happened, how it happened, then it can come up and it can repeat itself, because we wouldn't be following that wisdom that he gives unto us. It is the wisdom when we seek the Lord. But we are to ask of the past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man in the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other. What does that mean? I want to tell you, if ever there is a time that we need to be seeking God and praying to the God of heaven, it is now. We don't want to repeat the mistakes that we have seen in those that have gone before us. We want to learn from those mistakes. We want to correct those things, those blunders, if we see them in ourselves. We want to adjust those places and have the power of God working in us. So we need to ask, what about the days that were long before me even? And then verse 33, it said, did ever a people hear the voice of God? verse 34, and hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a people? Do you believe that he had a people back here that was his chosen generation? Do you believe that there is a chosen generation today? The word of the Lord says there is a chosen generation. We are a called out people. We are not to fellowship the works of darkness. We're not to partake. I think by the end of the message, I have a burden for us that we not be a partaker of the world, that we be called out of the world, out of false teachings and false doctrine. There are people that may be innocent and believing those things, but I want to tell you, you and I need to walk in the light while we have the light. It says, lest darkness come upon us. But it says, did God have a people that was out of the midst of the nations? Today, he still has a people. We may not know all of the people. I don't know. He knows. The word of the Lord says, this is the seal of the Lord. He knoweth everyone that belongeth to him. That's his business. I need to make sure who I am. You need to make sure who you are. And then verse 35. Unto thee it was shewed that thou mightest know that God, the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. We're living in a world of many gods. More than ever before. More obvious than ever before. I should say it that way. Because when I was young, we did not hear of all of these gods that our younger generation is hearing about now. We didn't know of all of these obvious religions that are manifesting themselves in one way or another, sometimes violence. We didn't know about those things. We only knew, we were so privileged to know only the one true God. And he's saying it to the children of Israel right here. He's saying that I am the Lord God. There is none other. And it's good for us to be reminded of this, because there's many questions and thoughts and temptations and spirits of the world and religious spirits and spirits that come from different gods in this world. And it will begin to make our minds question. So let's reaffirm, this is God, the one true God that I am serving. And I'm going into this new year, and I know that he is God, and believe in him. I've wanted so desperately, I've felt such a burden to be able to magnify the Lord, how great he is. Had a little burden like that at Guthrie. I don't think I was able to convey the message like I had it on my heart. I can only trust that God took those feeble words and converted it to their own language. That's all I can trust. But God is God. And he said to you and me, come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. We can almost make him too big. I made the statement, can we exaggerate God? Can we make him bigger than what he really is? We can't. But on the other hand, the enemy would like to make us think, well, you're just a grasshopper. You're just a weak worm of the earth, and you can't really approach a God that big. But he's made a way for you and me to come boldly to the throne of grace and to not be afraid, to talk to him. Yes, we cannot see him, and maybe if we could see him, we would draw back. We would be fearful. But he has this veil between, and he inspires our faith that we can look upon him and say, this is the one true God, and I can make all my requests known unto him. And he will understand, and he will know, he sees. And so we go now to the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. And looking at verse 1, it says, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments. Now, remember I just spoke a little bit earlier that chapter 5, Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel again. They're written somewhere else also. But he is giving them the law. They're a new generation, reminding them we have to repeat, and repeat the messages, the doctrines, the truth, the commandments for every generation. We can believe it from my generation and say, oh, I've heard that all my life. And yet there's children and young people that are coming on that needs to hear it again and again and again. So that's what Moses was doing here. And he said, now these are the commandments and the judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So I'm going to say it like this. We need to be reminded of the commandments and the statutes and the judgments that we may live them out in 2018. Be reminded of what they are. Down to verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We need to hear that again. We need to it be a reaffirmed, because it can affect our young people if they haven't believed it in their hearts. In verse 5, and it says, and then it says how we are to love him. And it's restated over in the New Testament. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And verse 6, and these words shall be in thine heart. We need these fixed in our heart. And then verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. How important is it to pass it on to the next generation? If we don't, who will? It's the same as who will pray for your children like you will. No one prays as diligently or as fervently for your children like you will. No one is going to watch for your soul as diligently as you do. So who's going to teach it to the next children? We all do have some responsibility, especially as a congregation. But I'm going to say, this says to do it at home. Teach it. Repeat it. Instruct them. And you that are here and you're getting to adult years, and you're looking for someday having your own home, remember that. When you have children, purpose in your heart, I'm going to instruct those children in the right way because I'm commanded to do so. And that's part of the message for 2018. Let's skip down now to the 7th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You know, that sounds sort of prideful. It almost seems like that we are... If we are above all of the people of the world, how do we feel about that? We need to be humble. We need to feel that God has such mercy and compassion on me that he allowed me to know the truth, that I'm not one of those out there that is searching. I'm blessed. You all are blessed. We want others to hear it, know it, see it, don't we? But we need to have a burden to pray for the word to be profitable in those that are out there. God knows how to do it. Don't get under a crush and think, oh, what about the masses? Don't get under that. God is able to reach every soul. But he does require us to be that light in the world. He requires us to carry a burden for the lost. He requires us to live his gospel in the earth and to be a saint of God. It's a high calling. And so we are a holy people if we are saved. We are a holy people. In verse 7, it says that the Lord did not set his love upon you. And this is a very important point that we need to carry with us into 2018. He did not set his love upon you nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. And I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to be in defense. This is the word of the Lord. He knows everyone that belongs to him. And I can trust in him that he can save everyone. He can lead everyone. I have a responsibility in this little corner of the world. I have a responsibility for my soul. I have a responsibility for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility for the little congregation. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to be a light in the world. And yet, God is able to reach the masses. I'm confident in it. I was almost down under that recently. But the Lord revealed to me that he has the power to reach every soul. I can trust him. I pray for it. That's my responsibility. So, just because we are few in number, just because a group is few in number, doesn't make them the special people. We must be the holy people, though we may be few in number. Now down to chapter 8, verse 2. And this is one thing my burden is that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. He's speaking to the children of Israel who have been wandering in the wilderness. He supplied their every need. He supplied their food. Their shoes did not wear out. He was all in all to them in that 40 years. They weren't just put out there to die. They lived and died in the wilderness. But he said, I want you to remember how I led you these 40 years out in the wilderness. And he said, I did it to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And you and I can look back. We should be able to look back over our life and trace the hand of God leading us and teaching us and correcting us and all of the things that he wants to do for his people. We should be able to look back and see how he has led us. And he says, I want you to remember that. We need to never forget how God has led us in the past. He wants to continue to lead us in the same path. Thank the Lord. And then verse 11, it says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. This is repeated so many times here in Deuteronomy. Don't forget God. Remember this. Don't forget his laws. Don't forget his statutes. Don't forget these things. And it's because we are a people that can forget. And then verse 14, it says, then thine heart, if you forget, in other words, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Skip down to verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. In verse 18, and thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he Now this is talking about wealth and material things, I suppose, but I want to tell you something. You did not keep saved because you had the power in yourself. We look back. We remember how he led us because he has kept me saved down through the years. Through all of the events of my life and all of the trouble of my life, don't lose that. For 2018, whatever is in our path that we don't know what is out before us, remember God and remember how he has led you in the past, how he has worked, how he has heard prayer. Don't forget it. It must be kept in your heart and your mind for this year that we are facing. So we don't want to ever think that it is by our power. Now I'm skipping over to verse chapter 11. We're just giving you some key verses and key words. Chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "The land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys." It's good for us to remember that. That's a whole message in itself. But there's going to be some high places and there's going to be some low places. Don't go into this year thinking that you're not going to have any trouble at all. God will be there in your trouble. He'll lead you in the hills and the valleys. He'll be there in every event that he allows in your life. And then it says in verse 12, and I love this verse, and actually this is the first verse that he gave me that inspired me, and it said, "A land which the Lord thy God careth for." I want to tell you something. Don't forget this. God cares for you. He cares about your life. He cares about your victories. He cares about your trials. He cares. We could go on and on about how he cares. But that's as much as we're going to say, because he says he careth for this land. And it says, "The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year." Was he there for you last year? Can you look back and remember? Do you have a history? Do you have the events where he helped you and walked with you through, we like to say sometimes, thick and thin? But he was there. Was it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? It was. Now, does that change anything for what we're facing? Does it give us hope? Is he going to be with us at the beginning of this year? Will he be with us at the end of the year? Oh, I want to tell you, don't forget it. He careth. He cares what we go through. He doesn't do it to crush us. He does it to help us, to strengthen us. And then down to verse 16, it says, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside." Now, that's quite a scripture to go into 2018, because the scripture tells us that the God of this world is seeking whom he may devour. He is a deceiver, and he will deceive the very elect. The word of the Lord tells us that. So go into 2018 knowing that there is a deceiver that wants to deceive the elect. That's you and me. You must keep your eyes on the goal. Now, I'm going to give us just a caution in closing, and I'm sorry for the time, but I must leave this portion with each one of us here today. Deuteronomy 12 and 29 and 30. We're still in Deuteronomy, but we're going to move a little bit out of it. It says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, and thou dwellest in their land. Now you and I are in this country. We are among this nation. We are in this society. We cannot move to an island and be by ourselves. This is where God has us. And I want that scripture to apply literally to where we are today and where we're living. And then the next scripture is the warning. Verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by the nation. By them, it says, but by the nation. And then the last part of it says, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I think that's a warning to us that we need to be cautious. In our public school system now, they are taught many religions. In the colleges, they are taught many religions of many gods. They're taught it. I know. I've had to work with some that were confused about it. I remember when Anna was in high school and she was having to study these other religions. And she called me. I went over, I worked with her through it. I said, Anna, learn this only to take the test and then forget it. But do you know those things can be in your mind? They can be in your mind. And God is saying here, we're not to inquire how they serve their gods. We're not to inquire even about their gods. So if you're having to study anything like that, be careful. There is only one God, and His way is right. Now I'm going to continue with that thought just a little bit before we close. The next scripture is Jeremiah 10 and part of 1 and 2. And it says, hear ye the word of the Lord. It speaketh unto you. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. We're in this world, but we must not be of this world. The scripture says that. We must not learn the way of the heathen. Leviticus 18 and 3. After the doings of the land shall ye not do. How plain is that? We must not be partakers and believe the things that are being put out that you and I are being pressured to accept. And neither walk ye in their ordinances. This is the word of the Lord. And Exodus 33 and 2, just portion of it, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. If we are the minority, don't join the multitude to do evil. I'm going to close now with this. I came across this little reading, and I think it fits. I think the Lord gave it to me. And I'm finished then. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, that's where we are, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. What we're facing for this year, we know not. But you can go and face 2018 very safely if you put your hand in the hand of God. Thank the Lord.